Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here today on Spiritually Naked. I am your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. But first we'd like to introduce you to our guest that we have with us today, Mesa. And Mesa is a heart charge healer, a spiritual medium, clairvoyant, counselor, and an energy coach from Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Mesa has attained a highly attuned level of connection to spirit and the angelic realms. So she is here with us today to help us expand our level of awareness. So thank you for joining us today, Mesa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So it's always interesting for me to speak to another channeler. And it's in my understanding, you channel the angelic realm. And is it the same as, do you channel through your body or do you channel through writing? Or it's always interesting to me to hear how people are receiving the messages because it is always different.
It is. And I do it through my consciousness, through my body. I don't do automatic writing or I don't go into a full trance. Because I have developed a direct connection with my masters and my teachers, I am able to just pull what they tell me through my own consciousness and then disseminate it that way.
So are you receiving, let's go to delivering. When you're delivering your message, are you just delivering it verbally then to your clients?
Usually it's verbally. Usually I work over the phone or in person. I do healing work remotely, but at that point I'm not really in communication with my client. I'm just totally remotely. But usually it's the communication is by phone or in person, and I'm speaking with the client.
Right.
So Mesa, let's just pretend that I was talking to you,
okay.
But let's pretend that I'm a client and here I am in BC and I call you and I say, okay, so just, I'm open to whatever. What do you have? In other words,
this is our way of getting a free reading.
Would you be seeing visuals, pictures, feelings?
I get that. Anyway, because there's I'm clairsentient, clairvoyant, and clairaudient. So I never know which way the information is going to come. And sometimes it'll come in more than one way. And I just know to watch for that. And, I never think that being one clairaudient is better than being clairvoyant or better than being clairsentient, because we're all set up energetically differently. And we all receive information differently. I don't know why I get it all three ways. I just know that that's how my body relates it to me, and or my consciousness relates it to me. So I never know which way it's going to come. And sometimes it'll come all three at once. So I might have the information coming into my conscious mind, and my body might be giving me some kind of response, and I might be hearing something. I might have a visual of something. I just never know.
Well, I think you bring up a really interesting point, because one of the things that Steve and I are really trying to promote by what we're doing is allowing people to be open to the idea and then receptive of the idea that everyone is available to this information is available to everybody, and it's about figuring out how it's available to you while being open to all sorts of different ways. Because if you get stuck on this idea that, okay, this is how I receive my messages from spirit, I have to be sitting in this position at this time of day, facing this direction, blah, 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 all of a sudden you end up confining yourself to this box of how it needs to be while not allowing the expansion of how it may come to you. And by helping people like what you're doing by showing them different ways and different possibilities and different perspectives. At least that's what I'm thinking that you do to a certain degree. Do you find that then people are able to find their own connection?
Yes. And, you know, I think that's the whole point, is that those of us that do this kind of work are able to help people that are interested in developing that connection within themselves to find out how their body, how their energetic being wants to bring that forth from them. And one thing I do in my breakthrough consciousness groups is sit with people, and I have this very intense energy that comes through me, and when people sit in this energy, it helps them make their own connection. And it's so fascinating to see the different ways that people are doing that and the different experiences that they're getting. And I think that's the whole point, is we all have an ability to do that. And to me, the reason that we're here in a physical body is to get back into alignment with our higher self. And we do that through increasing the spin of the electron and increasing our frequencies. And as we do that, our body will start to make that connection and receive information in whatever way it's best set up to do that. So I think that's kind of the whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see it and experience that through what we're doing as well in ourselves and in other people. It's always interesting.
And two, just in everyday life, like, you don't have to be necessarily doing a radio show or offering it as a service to people. It, for everyone listening, it's about incorporating that kind of, it becomes a lifestyle into your daily life.
Absolutely.
And absolutely.
And that can be whatever. I, outside of this, I have a landscape company. That's a trade. It's, you know, it's got its own, what do you call it? I'm not too sure what word I'm looking for here, but regardless, it's general. It's sort of normal. It's a trade, but you can incorporate all these ideas and really change the dynamic within your company. You can change the dynamic in the grocery store. You can change the dynamic in any setting you go to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, as we move toward a higher degree of consciousness, and we're living from that day to day, that really helps the whole planet. You know, spirit often tells me, God, you know, we need the people on the planet that have the capability of bringing in more light to be actively doing so, because that's what brings the light to the planet, and that's what the planet needs so badly. Mm-hmm. And that's in a minute to minute, every day, every breath kind of thing.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's not only when you meditate or pray or do your practices, it needs to be integrated into, you know, that's who we are. And so when we bring that in, it really has a tremendous effect on our environment and the greater environment as a whole.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing to do it in a setting that is suited for that kind of peaceful, compassionate, accepting, you know, being that we are. But when you get out into the other real world, where the stressors hit and your emotions kick in and your ego's always speaking, that's where it becomes the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm. And that's the practice.
Absolutely.
Right. That's what I found anyways, is just if I hold my awareness on my desire to understand, my own inner emotions based on the communications with others, my experiences, then I always are picking up these little nuances, these subtle ideas that allow me to expand in terms of, for example, instead of reacting, I would acknowledge that as, oh, wow, something within me is reacting. These emotions are really flaring up. What's going on here? And if I continue to allow that experience to play out, I often find out the answer by the end of that.
I so agree, Steve, because, you know, you're being the witness. You're watching what's going on in your mind-body identification. You're standing back and watching that. And so, therefore, you have a different viewpoint. You're not getting lost in the emotion. You're able to watch it and, therefore, gain more information, mm-hmm, about it without getting into a reactive mode.
Oh yeah, we're so on the same page. Yeah.
Pardon?
I said we're just so on the same page, and that's what we talk about as well. It's really about taking a step back. You know, I like to use the analogy of lenses on a camera. When you're too caught up in the external world and not in touch with who you are, not in tune with the grander picture, that kind of thing, it's like you have a macro lens on your life and you're just seeing it from this really narrow viewpoint, and then you take that off and put on the wide angle and now you're actually able to watch yourself and be open.
That's so true. And you know, in the East Indian tradition, you know, they call it self-inquiry. And it's one of the most expedient ways to get into an enlightened state, because when you realize your reactions are not who you are, and who you are is really just watching all of this like a movie, and then you can get behind what's going on. You know, you can watch what's going on. And the more you do that, the more space you create for yourself between the higher self and the reactive self. And pretty soon you're just more and more able to stay in that higher place of being.
Yeah, like you can't direct a masterpiece while being the actor on the center stage. You have to do that from behind the scenes, right? So
exactly.
I think really that's awesome. It's about coming into the idea of, from this vantage point, from this grander picture, I'm now really in the seat of the orchestrator. I'm orchestrating that little puppet down there.
I love that. I love that example of being the director instead of being the actor. I think that's just a tremendous example.
Yeah, I liked that too.
Yeah, where'd you come up with that?
I don't know.
Nice work.
It was a good moment. It was a good moment.
That was
good. Keep that one. That's a real good one. That's a
keeper. Dibs on that one.
We'll use it again. So, Mesa, I was very curious. Like, you had said, it is known to us that you've been working as a spiritual teacher and student for the last 45 years.
Whoa. It's a long time.
How did all this begin for you? Like, for Stephanie and I, it was within
a couple days
of an accident, and you know, our life changed, and now every day this is what we're trying to focus on, although it's not easy to in some circumstances, but it's still right. That's the challenge. But for you, what launched you into this? Was it a transition, or did something happen?
You know, it wasn't anything specific. It was, as I grew into my teenage years, I always had a yearning for something. I didn't know what it was at the time. And I would go into these periods where I was feeling these tremendous feelings, and it was a yearning, and I didn't understand it. And then I started relating to, I think it's for God. And the religion that I grew up in was not feeding anything to me that was satisfying it. So as I got into my late teens, early 20s, I just started searching. And through another person, I came across the theosophical writings of Madame Blavatsky. And I started reading The Secret Doctrine. And I started getting in touch with the Ascended Masters and reading some of their material. And as I would read that, I would really go off into like a trance-like state. It was so powerful for me, I could not stay in my conscious mind. And so I would sort of fall out and then be gone a little while, and then I would come back and I'd read some more, and then I'd kind of fall out again. And I just the bells were going off in my head. Yes, this is it. This is it. This is what I've been looking for. And I just started putting one foot in another and started reading more and more and more. And when I was about 24, I went to a speaker who was talking about transcendental meditation. Now, at the time, I was in a very, very distressful marriage, and I was just really in a corner. I didn't know how to get out of it, and I was losing my sense of self. And I remember after the talk, talking with this person and looking into this person's eyes, and there was such peace emanating from his eyes, I almost couldn't stay conscious. And I thought, I don't know what this guy said. I don't remember what he said, but whatever he's got, that's what I want. So I started meditating, and that started centering me and getting me focused. And it took me about a year to get out of the distressful situation I was in. But by then, I was living in Los Angeles. I was a musician. And there were a lot of gurus in Los Angeles at that time. And I was guru hopping because I figured if one was good, 10 were better. So I was getting initiated into all these different kinds of practices. But meanwhile, I had made a connection with the Ascended Masters, and those teachings were what stuck with me the most. And I just kept going through different transitions and different mythologies and different practices. And when I was in my 30s, I found a esoteric Catholic meaning universal spiritual order, which was supposedly connected with the Masters. And so I started studying with them because I wanted to go further in the teachings. I was ordained in 1976 as a priest of that order. The order ended up falling apart. And by then I was well into the teachings of the Ascended Masters. I knew that that's what I wanted to stay with. And I just kept pursuing that. And I was doing meditation. I was doing prayers. I was doing chanting. I was doing decrees. And through the years, I've had a ton of spiritual experiences with the Masters and just kept doing that until about 2 years ago. I should back up. In the 90s, I started experiencing leaving my body and going into realms of just pure bliss, And I would be there for maybe hours at a time, and it would be hard to come back, but I would. And about 2 years ago, something changed, and that energy of bliss and peace and enlightenment, I would call it enlightenment, started coming down into me. I was no longer going up into it. It was coming down into me and coming out through my body. Now, this was in conjunction with the opening of the Kundalini, and it was coming down and it would go out through my heart chakra.
Can you quickly explain to us what the opening of the Kundalini means?
The Kundalini is that energy that is at the base of the spine, and the term Kundalini means actually coiled 3.5 times. And Kundalini is very well known again in the Hindu approaches to spirituality. The opening, when the Kundalini opens, that energy starts to move up the spine and it starts to activate the spiritual centers. Now the opening can be a dangerous thing if it's forced, but if it's done naturally, then you're going to be okay. You're going to be safe. And you go through a lot of experiences when that opens because the energy is so intense. It can be quite disconcerting if you don't know what that is. About 6 or 7 months ago, I touched somebody who was ready for that opening, and as soon as I touched him, he said he felt something happen. 30 minutes later, he was in a full-blown Kundalini opening experience. I stayed with him until that sort of settled down because the energy had opened up, was coming up through his body. He felt intense burning and pressure, and I said, oh yeah, that's your Kundalini. It's going to be okay. You know, just let it come up. Don't try to stop it. And he's a shamanic practitioner, so he had a sense of, I know it's okay. You know, I know it's going to be okay, but this is tough. This is tough going right now. Hmm. And it lifted him into a new level of his practice.
Yeah. He popped his spiritual cherry.
Yes.
So all it takes is a touch then.
I can't say I've had that experience yet, I don't think. unless it happened when I smashed into the rock wall and I had so much other pain going on that I don't even know what happened.
You would know if this happened. It's a very unique, powerful experience, and you know. Now, most of the time, when the Kundalini starts to activate, it will kind of rise and then it'll fall, and then it'll rise and then it'll fall, and it'll rise and it'll fall. And then eventually, as it reaches the level of the heart, when the heart chakra opens up, then it won't fall anymore. But for a long time, and some people will experience it spontaneously, and for other people, it will take a long time. For me, it took a long time until it reached that point at the heart. And then this energy started to come down to the heart, and everything now comes through my heart, which is why it's called heart charge healing.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right, right. I love what is happening right now in terms of the scientific community and gaining a greater and grander perspective on the heart as the, being yes. the center of who we are in regards to the electromagnetic impulses that the heart is giving off, I guess, is right. the best way to put it, and how that interacts with the magnetic grid of the Earth. And yes. measuring that through satellite stuff, like what Greg Braden in particular talks about it a lot. So if anyone's interested in learning more about that, that's a really great source. And I love the integration of the two. It means, you know, our science is opening up to these ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the idea is connecting us into oneness.
Into wholeness.
Into wholeness, yes.
And you know, science is now proving what metaphysics has said all along, except metaphysics, the real esoteric metaphysics is still light years ahead of science. But at least they are now proving a lot of what was said that before, you know, it was just poo-pooed because there was no scientific basis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now they have to pay attention.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly why it's happening now, is because as we notice, is, you know, more and more every day, people are ready for this new exploration within their lives.
Well, they're looking for that integration.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. In integrating those ideas, and you take somebody like Lee Carroll, who channels Kryon, he's now working with these scientists because the scientists are now choosing to work with him because Kryon, who he channels, has been saying this for 25, 30 years since he started channeling Kryon. And, you know, people are listening to that now because it's factual. What he was talking about 25 years ago is indeed where we're at. And he was it's not like he's making these gigantic predictions, really, but sort of in a sense. But what they're, how it was explained to me through Solomon in the group, and maybe, you know, I'd be curious to know how it is for you, Mesa. But it's like how, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that? I started thinking about your name and the beautiful, like, Mesa, the medicine bundle of, like, in the Andean shamanist tradition.
The masters really say don't change your name because the name you came in with is indicative of the karma and you need to stay with that vibration. Oh. But at one point in the 90s, I had started my own spiritual order in the 90s because of a vision that I was given. And I was going to one of our spiritual meetings, and Spirit said, "Oh, you're going to change your name." And I said, "No, I'm not." "No, I'm not." And they, "Oh, yes, you are." And I didn't want to change my name. And they said, "Yes, you have to change your name." But I didn't know what to what. And it was my husband at the time. He had a vision, and he saw a sun coming up over a mesa. And as soon as I heard the word mesa, I knew that was it.
Yeah.
But it was spelled a little different, but no matter. And so then a spirit kept saying, "You have to do this legally." And I was just so resistant. So I had it registered as a trade name. And eventually I went and I got it through the courts for a legal change of name. And so, you know, the Mesa is a high place. So I thought, okay, you know, I'm okay with that. Well, then I started getting information about all these other messages about what the name was, and part of the name is from the old Tamil Nadu language from southern India, and the other is Sumerian, and it means swimming in celestial waters. It means a divine object. It means something about the house of God. And finally I found what it really meant, which was the Lord He.
The Lord, He.
The Lord, and then capital H-E.
Oh, like the literal translation, you mean?
Literal translation. Oh. The Lord He. Now, if I would have known that, I never would have had the nerve to change it to that. Oh my goodness.
Let's stick with the first thing.
Yeah, like swimming in the esoterics. I like
but
that.
But it must go back yeah. into the Inca days as well, because the Mesa, from what I know about the Andean shamanism tradition, the Mesa is the cloth and the rocks that, and I guess crystals as well, and feathers, all of the healing objects that the medicine man or woman would carry with them when going to visit people who needed healing. And so all those things were kept in this nice little bundle, and that's the Mesa. So it's got to have some relevance to the Incas as well.
Well, that, and again, we're also pulling these definitions out of the very limited understanding that we have. Right. So if the non-physical realm is suggesting that you change your name, it could be vibrating at any resonant level that we don't understand. So there's a reason, and we're just trying to make sense of it. Right. So it's always interesting to recognize that and then just be like, oh yeah, I could just let that go. Really. It's important on some level, but that's okay.
So getting back on track a little bit, sorry, I think I was the one that digressed there. When you're working with people, let's say remotely, would that become something, I guess it depends on the person, would it be a one-time deal, or would you, you know, do a program with them for 5 or 6 months?
It depends. It depends on what they feel is they want. I do not presume to know what somebody needs. And when I work remotely, what I'm doing these days is bilocating, because Spirit taught me how to bilocate. So it's hard to describe. It's not psychic projection. I actually go and duplicate myself where they are, but not so far as creating a second physical body. I stay in my light body, and then I am able to go into their light body, and I'm working at a subatomic level. And that's fascinating stuff, because my experience, if I told you what my experiences were, you would, well, what's that got to do with healing? And I would say, I don't know. That's just what happens. But lo and behold, when I'm done, something for them has changed. Hmm. So I don't go in with any kind of intention about, okay, their knee hurts, I'm going to go work on their knee, although I may end up doing that. It's just truly I'm guided to go into these levels of light and do whatever is shown. And sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing. And then I will connect with them the next day on the phone, and we'll talk about what they felt. And sometimes it'll take a while before any change is noticed. Sometimes it's right away. So sometimes I may do it once, sometimes I may do it several times. It just depends.
Yeah, there would be a lot of very, very factors involved in that.
Absolutely. And sorry to say, guys, we're out of time for this portion of our program. But Mesa, if you'd like to let our audience know where they can find you.
My website is called MesaHealingAndReadings.com, and you can find all my information there and how to contact me. Please feel free for anyone who's interested to peruse that website, and please feel free to contact me. I'd love to be in connection with anybody that's interested in what I'm doing or what's going on with them.
Fantastic. Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been a fun interview, and stay tuned, everybody out there, for the second portion of our program, when we'll be back with Mesa and Solomon.
We invite you to bring forth your questions and queries, and we will, as always, do our best to relay to you how we feel would perhaps be a suggested route to take, perhaps not. These are your choices always. We are not here to dictate to you what to do, how to do it, when to do it. We are merely here to make offerings, suggestions, new ways of looking at things that may perhaps broaden your horizons. So we invite you at this time to ask away.
Well, thank you, Solomon, for being here. Mesa, feel free if you have any questions for Solomon, go ahead.
I do, thank you. Thank you, Solomon. I'm very grateful that I have this opportunity to speak with you. My understanding is that the work that I am doing now is my mission. My mission is to channel through this very intense spiritual energy to allow people to sit with me and experience that and to integrate that energy. My question is, do you feel that there is a way that I can bring this to more people in a more expedient manner?
We feel that anything is possible. We feel that for you at this point in time, you are going in the direction to the velocity, let's say, that you choose to be at. We feel that there is perfection around what you are, let's say, accomplishing that goes along with the vision of your mission. As you begin to expand your horizons continually as you do, should it be perhaps more suited to move in a higher momentum, then this will be facilitated. But you are on your course. You are being guided in the best possible way at this time. Therefore, there is no need to shift or change the direction, the momentum, the velocity, the energetic force that goes along with who you are at this particular moment. There may be times ahead where the momentum will increase, and you will know this. You will feel this. Because you will know the difference. There is a linear component to the idea of momentum and velocity. From a feeling state, there really is no difference in how it feels to be moving at a, let's say, higher vibration, having more momentum. It will not be translated through a feeling of moving quickly. It will feel more in alignment with the idea of expansion, of opening, of grandeur. Does this make sense?
Yes. I think my next question would be, absolutely makes sense. My next question would be about, would it be beneficial or do I need to change anything in terms of what I'm doing in the physical world to bring the opportunity to people? It seems like there is a good core group of people that are experiencing this energy. I'm doing groups here in Santa Fe once a week. I was doing groups in Albuquerque. Those aren't going on right now. But my feeling is that I want to present this in a way in the physical world where more people can have the opportunity to experience it. And I feel a little stuck in what my next step might be.
You're feeling stuck perhaps because you're not accepting that you would like to be unstuck and simply travel around. Get on the go. Pick up the roots and allow them to manifest themselves in other places. To be able to reach different parts of the world, this is what you would need to do from a physical sense. If this is where your soul is leading you to, if this is where your, let's say, spiritual teachers from the non-physical realm are guiding you, if this is where your spiritual teachers on the physical plane are leading you to. You simply told us a brief moment ago quite clearly what it is that you would like to be doing. If you would like to broaden your horizons past the locale of where you are currently to be able to reach more people physically, then that seems like a, no offense, no-brainer.
It does, doesn't it? And I have thought of that, and I think that my hesitation is I'm 72 years old. How much do I really want to travel? How much, physical hardship will I be able to tolerate to do that? Because it does take energy to do that. And so I think that has been one thing that has been on my mind.
You can travel quite comfortably. The planes these days are beautiful. Maybe not ideal, but let's face it, they are quite comfortable nonetheless. You can break these journeys up so to not be on an airplane for days upon days upon days. There are ways of traveling to the degree that you would prefer to travel, with comfort, with ease. It'll take a little bit of research, but that'll be the fun part. Mapping out a route, pre-booking, to make it all worthwhile. Not that it wouldn't be worthwhile anyways, but let's face it, it'd be much more worthwhile if you had a full room to speak to. Doing some promoting, doing some advertising, getting your name out there so that when you arrive, you will know that you will be set up. That there are locations you could choose from that are comfortable for sleeping, for eating. This is all within your realm. This is all within your experience to be, should it be what you would prefer to see.
Well, I appreciate that, and because hearing you speak like that is putting me back on. I have thought about these things as sort of putting me back on that track. I've sort of let a lot of those ideas go. So I thank you very much. I'm very grateful that I'm hearing this from you.
You're simply hung up on a few ideas that would create fear. One of them being age.
Yes.
And we understand the physical limitations that comes along with age, yet in a state of relative health, you can, and we would recommend, should you feel the desire to do so, to spread your wings and continue to travel to see the world, to meet new people. This will bring vitality to your being. This will bring youthfulness to your heart. Just a little hint.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Can you give me some, maybe some tips? When this energy comes through me, sometimes I'm not around people. Sometimes I'm just in my room and the energy will just open up and it'll just flow through. And sometimes it can be physically taxing, uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm not able to function. I just have to sit and wait till that transmission slows down. Is there anything that I can do to help my physical being integrate with that energy maybe more quickly?
One thing that tends to help in these situations would be to immerse your body as much as possible in a natural setting with this skin, the human skin, touching the natural source, be it water. Immersing oneself in water would be a, let's say, quicker, less unusual experience. Lying in the grass, leaning up against a tree, all grounding ideas.
Yes.
Being at one with that energy that is flowing through the earth's creations, the natural earth creations. Being in attunement with that vibration. the ideas of nature, of water, of grass, of trees, of plants, of animals, is that there is a clear connection to, let's say, source creation, undisturbed. Therefore, lying in a bed man-made carries with it a certain vibration that may not be as conducive as immersing your body in the natural surroundings that are available to you. Even being in a bathtub would be preferable. You are still immersed in water. This is why the birthing of babies is quite pleasant when birthing into water. The transition is less traumatic. It's more conducive to staying in alignment, to staying in connection with that from which you came, from that which the energetic vibration, the energetic field is coming to you, moving through you. Your receptivity to it is enhanced should you be immersed in nature. Does this make sense?
Absolutely. And the grounding techniques, yes, I'm aware of them. I have not tried the water, so that would be something that I will definitely try. And I thank you for that. I live in the desert, so I don't normally think of water. But yes. And the going out in nature and leaning against a tree and putting the feet on the ground, yes, that works very well. And in fact, I do keep large dark rocks under my bed to help me ground, because I do tend to not want to stay in my body. So I have to kind of work at that.
Even lying in the sand, being in the desert, the clay, it's best right. to feel a connection to your natural cosmology. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
If you happen to be in an area that is not necessarily your home that you are going to be traveling to, then blending with what is available in that area, in that place where you are now immersed physically, is preferred over searching for something that does not come natural to the area. Does this make sense?
Absolute sense. Yes. Thank you.
But where water is available, it is a magnificent transmitter of energetic vibration, of energetic forces, of magnetic fields, of pure energy. It is a conductor of energy, as yeah. many of you know. This is not new yeah. news. However, from a more spiritual quantum level, individuals can utilize the idea of water to conduct their own energetic vibration. We like the analogy of water because many of you can relate to the fluidity of it, the softness of it, the ability of water to maneuver itself around the biggest obstacles undisturbed, always flowing down the path of least resistance. This is what water does. Therefore, why not utilize that as a physical form and immerse yourself, your physical self, in connection with your energetic self into that idea physically? Doesn't that feel nice just thinking about it?
It does. It feels very nice. Very nice. Yes. Yes, thank you.
And while in that state, relinquishing the idea that we just brought to your attention of grounding. Grounding has its own limitations. We use that particular term loosely, let's say, and prefer to work with the idea of allowing energy to flow freely through you, continually, undisturbed, unobstructed, without resistance, without preconceived notions of whether it's a good energy or a bad energy. It's just energy. Not feeling the need to protect yourself from any particular form of energy or be more receptive to other forms of energy. Energy is energy. You'd be better off, not necessarily you yourself, but those listening in general, better off to not place a judgment on energy, period. Water allows one to think of energy in this way, pure, flowing through you continually. Does this make sense?
Yes. You know, I was, when this energy comes through me and becomes, it comes through my heart chakra, I was charging water through that heart chakra and then offering it to people because I know that water has memory, and I know that that water was getting charged with this energy that comes through. And so do you think that that is something I should continue?
Yes. Again, a no-brainer. You've already been shown this. We are here to simply remind you of things that you really already know. We allow you the opportunity to bring them back into your awareness as a recollection, let's say, of something that may have happened in the past. It may have been a sign. There are physical signs all along the way. The idea is being in the state of alignment with those ideas to actually be able to see them and utilize them to the degree that they are able to help you with.
Yes, thank you.
Physical signs that manifest around all of you in every moment of every day. There is a purpose for every experience that you experience.
Yes.
Seeds may be planted all along the way that may not be recognized until much later on in your physical experience. Yet from a quantum level, this is a very short period of time. So for many of you, you will have little wake-up moments, aha moments, as many of you would say, where you start beginning to connect the dots. And in the connecting of these dots, your next move, let's say, your next step on your path will be impacted due to your previous experiences. As you begin to be more aware of what is going on around you at any given moment of the day, you will then become less inclined to look back on past signs and symbols that may have flashed before your eyes, because you will be noticing them now in the moment, in the moment where that particular sign or symbol is at its prime of potential. Does this make sense?
Yes, thank you. Absolutely.
Many of you experience life to the degree where you begin to look at your life as a series of synchronistic events. That is the water flowing. That is living in pure, unrestrained, unrestricted, beyond limitation. Boundaries removed, allowing yourself, your entire self, your whole self to be all-encompassing, to be in tune, in touch with all of creation where all potential is possible, allowing your higher self, let's say, to guide you, to direct you, to move you in the best suited direction. Does this help?
Yes, I call that being on the universal wave.
We like that. The wave is the water.
Yes.
The wave hits the shore, and even upon the hitting of the shore, does not feel resistance.
Right.
It just goes with the flow. It rides with the tide.
Right.
As a human being, the more you can incorporate this idea into your life, the more trusting you can be of this idea, the more accepting and receptive of that which is presented to you that represent this idea, the more your life will flow with ease and grace. The more you will not need to plan as much. You will be more adaptable to the current energetic vibration of the planet as a whole. That is shifting in moment to moment, in moment to moment, moment to moment. And in that shift comes a change of ideas, a change of experiences, a change of movement, ultimately a change in action, a change in physical experience. Being adaptable to these changes will then create the idea of fluidity as represented by water. We are happy to be having this conversation.
Lovely conversation. Thank you. I love the image as you speak, as I see that image of water flowing. And water for me is, astrologically, I'm all fire and I'm all earth. And so water for me is an element that sometimes is not as strong in my balance as I perceive it needs to be. So I thank you for bringing this more to my attention, and I will definitely incorporate it.
Water has the ability to transform that which lies around the perimeters of it. In other words, if you can envision a riverbed with rock walls on either side, the hardness of the rock is filed away over time by the softness of the water.
Right.
Using that analogy, coming into, let's say, a physical experience with the harshness of the world, should you determine yourself to be adapting of the ideas of water, the softness of who you are, flowing past the harshness, through the harshness would be a better way of putting this, through the harshness of the realities that come along with being a human being, over time, that energetic vibration that you are contributing to, becoming a part of, will file away at the harshness, will smooth the corners. This is a very powerful statement for many of you. Tuning into, becoming in alignment with the softness of your being will create this kind of world reality for you. It won't matter what kind of rock walls you come up against or smash into. The softness of who you are will flow through the harshness of what that is. We like this.
I like this very much also.
Yeah, it's an expansive way of looking at it.
And if water is not available to you, for many of you it is not, you can get to this same idea through your mind's eye, through envisioning this idea as we are right now. Even running the tap slightly and putting your hands underneath it while thinking of these ideas will be useful. You don't necessarily have to be in physical proximity to any of these ideas.
Just within the imagination alone.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Will we have time for one more question, Mesa?
I don't have any more questions.
Oh, well, that's interesting timing.
But I'm, thank you very much, Solomon. I'm very grateful for your input. And that's really resonating with me, especially with the water. And, I so appreciate your bringing that to me. And I so appreciate your spending the time to talk with me. Thank you very, very much.
It is our pleasure. It is our pleasure. It is our pleasure. We look forward to our next exchange.
Wonderful.
We look forward to interacting with all of you as we travel on this journey together as one, expanding our own horizons through one another.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you, Solomon.
That was... there were a number of aha moments for me. Welcome back, Steph.
Stephanie, you are an excellent channeler.
It's a very clear connection. And I enjoy being a part of it every time.
I'm sure. Yes, it's quite lovely. And you know, I don't want to say I'm hard on channelers, but I know a lot of people are channeling things that they don't understand what they really are, and that it's not always what they think it is. But you're very clear. You're a very excellent channeler, and I appreciate your talent and your willingness to do this.
Well, I appreciate your feedback for sure, because it's still, I still feel nervous. And I, you know, as a human being, I think we always sort of have our own doubts and our own inhibitions. But the messages that have come through have been so life changing for myself and for Steve and for our son and for, you know, those around us, that it just seems like this is what has to happen. It's like you being told you're changing your name.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. You know, it's kind of the same idea. And
right.
I don't, like, right now I feel really good.
Me too. Yeah.
Like,
me
I'm
too.
Still bathing in that water.
Yeah, that was quite the powerful, and like, I was water when we were talking about that. And relating to my own life, that's a real strong lesson for me, because I have been trying to force things, just like you had asked, Mesa, about how you wanted to reach more people. And for me, I almost have that insistence within me, and I keep doing things with insistence in my heart, not as the intention. The intention is to help as many people as I possibly can, but with the insistence that it needs to be now, rather than just allowing to live my life and flow, and rather than insisting on coming up with ideas and then insisting that they work out. You know, I've been really struggling with that lately, and that analogy of water really helped me release that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's lovely. It's just lovely. And I think that analogy, it has much value to it, much, much value to it.
Yeah, it was funny because, they seemed to really like that.
They did. Yeah, they were nodding a lot. I was watching Stephanie.
I think they must have been feeling like, from a big worldly picture of whoever's going to be listening to this show, that it's going to resonate with a lot of people, because you can't deny the softness of water.
No. Well, you can't. And, you know, when you look at what's going on in the world, and there's so much harshness and so much demanding and so much... everything hard-edged, and where is the softness? You know, if we could all allow ourselves to be like water, it would certainly be a different experience being in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually all that harshness would be filed away to nothingness.
Right, but importantly, and their point is, and often is that if we choose to live our lives that way, our experience will reflect that. So like you say, we'll start seeing it within our lives. It'll seem like the entire world is like that. You know what I mean? Like living it, we'll immerse ourselves in it. And then those around us will learn from it.
We can change that saying one step at a time to one stream at a time.
One stroke at a time.
Lovely. I like that.
One stream.
And that can like double into the internet too. The live streaming. uh-huh. All right, maybe I'm taking it too far.
I don't know if we'll use it, but maybe.
Well, there's just somebody asked me, we were in down near Vancouver last weekend, and we did a Solomon Channel down there, and somebody asked me how I feel when the information is being delivered, and I just feel really good. Like, it just seems like it makes so much sense.
It does. And when we understand and we grow and we expand, we tend to, our vibration raises and we feel better within ourselves. Like, I feel like I feel like a new man, you know, like I feel rejuvenated and energized, knowing that now if I just hold on to that idea of living with such fluidity, I'm going to.
And that's where the practice comes in.
Totally. It's all a practice, all of it.
But it can be, it doesn't have to be contrived practice.
Right.
No, you don't.
I've been doing a series of short videos that I'm putting on Facebook and LinkedIn, and In one of those videos, I was talking about raising the frequencies and then learning to be consistent, to stay consistent at those frequencies, and how uncomfortable it is when we raise our frequencies and then we do something to allow them to fall, and it feels terrible.
Yeah.
It does. There's a huge contrast.
Yeah. Doesn't feel good.
No.
But that's the lesson, and that's what keeps us going, right? That's what keeps us wanting to strive for higher vibration.
Well, and I think too, being okay when you're not.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something that we feel we contributed to, in terms of, like, you know, I think about the times where I lose my cool, or, you know, I just feel that I maybe haven't interacted with the world around me to the best of my abilities kind of thing. I have a tendency to feel guilty about that after, but I know enough now to allow myself to feel that way for a day or so, and then to start integrating the idea of, you know what, I am really a human being still in this body, and this is a practice for me too. And the practice is in every moment of every day and every situation. And part of that practice is accepting when you're not at your best.
Even enlightened beings have reactions. It's just that they don't attach to them, and they move through them very quickly.
Exactly.
So while we're in a human body, we're going to experience that. It's just a matter of how long we allow them to be, how long we attach to them, or if we just let them come in and go out, come in and, like water flowing.
Right.
And go out.
Because it's easy. Yeah, it's easy to always come back to that. Well, guys, but we're out of time for today.
I'd like to thank all our listeners out there. And Mesa, thank you for being here with us today. Tune in 2 weeks from today as we will have with us another fantastic guest named Frank Chodal. For those of you who would like to learn more about Stephanie and Solomon, please visit our website at stephanie-banks.com. And please subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thank you again, everyone, and have a fantastic week.